This is Senator Al Simpson. Mark up your calendar for Old Cars Week. The Senate will be sure you do. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. With all of the important items on our agenda, Ted, I'm certain the American public will think it's absurd to learn that we spend so much of our time and resources to pass into law these various commemorative day resolutions. In the next week, we will debate the merits of proclaiming 17 more days and weeks commemorating everything from neighborhood awareness to soccer. I'm not talking about commemorating those days with truly national appeal. Mother's Day has a broad appeal across the country. Veterans Day, Memorial Day, those are special times for us all. But commemorative days can really become meaningless because of their vast subject matter and ever-increasing numbers. As the numbers rise, so do the expenses of member and staff time. Let's get out of this business, Ted, before they designate 1988 the year of the congressional dud.
Al, you're turning into the curmudgeon of the Capitol. Things are wrong with how the Senate works, but the commemorative resolutions aren't the problem. Last year, when Democrats regained Senate control, we established guidelines to eliminate abuses, require bipartisan support for all commemorative resolutions, and make sure they benefit public purposes, not special interests. Most resolutions have worthy goals. Last Friday, for example, was National Challenger Day to honor Christa McAuliffe and the other courageous astronauts who died in the space shuttle disaster 2 years ago. Would you really block that tribute, Al? Last November was National Alzheimer's Disease Month. Would you cancel that too, Al, and prevent the worthwhile boost it gave to the nationwide efforts to deal with that tragic affliction of the elderly? Commemorative resolutions don't do any harm, and they often do a lot of good. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Reagan can't get the death penalty through Congress, so he's trying to persuade a federal agency to do it unilaterally. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, I know you come from the Fryam School of law enforcement, but even you hardline advocates of the death penalty should have second thoughts about the Reagan administration's latest tactic. For years, the administration has failed to persuade Congress to enact a broad capital punishment statute for federal crimes. A majority of Congress understands that the death penalty is no deterrent and that it's used unfairly against minorities and the poor. Now the administration wants a federal agency called the U.S. Sentencing Commission to end-run Congress and create a death penalty in the guise of writing routine guidelines for criminal sentences. That's preposterous, Al. The commission has no such authority. If President Reagan can't get the death penalty through Congress, he can't get it from a federal agency either.
The Fryam School? No, but where you and I really differ, Ted, is that I think of the wretched victims while you think of the poor criminals. You got it backwards. I do believe in capital punishment, Ted. It is a deep personal and moral issue, but this one generates more heat than it does light. Capital punishment has to be limited to certain specific felonies and should then be available only by the clear action of the jury that has heard the case. Those who commit hideous crimes upon other persons are a threat to society and should receive the death penalty. Capital punishment did not somehow begin with the Reagan administration, Ted. You know that. Our founding fathers clearly saw circumstances that would call for this awesome human penalty. It is provided for in our remarkable Constitution. Your accusations are based on emotion and guilt and not on our Constitution. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Recovered with the numbers.
This is Senator Al Simpson. This presidential primary business must be changed. But what does Ted Kennedy say? We'll face off after this. Ted, I know you've kind of enjoyed running for president in the past, but you might now just have to admit that the current system needs to be changed. Iowa is now behind us. New Hampshire lurks up front. We've all heard the complaint that the voters in these states play too large a role in selecting our president. Let's face it, March rolls around and the political pundits will have pretty well declared their winner. The voters in other states are left out of the process. I think we need a regional primary system, Ted. We can't legislate that, and it would be up to our political parties to organize such a system. we could set up, say, 5 regional primaries. The specific interests of each individual area could then receive the thoughtful focus they need and they deserve.
It'll never happen, Al. Regional primaries may appeal to political theorists, but they don't solve one big problem. The region that goes first would have enormous clout, and the region that goes last could be an also-ran. A national primary would solve that question, but it would create other problems, since unknown candidates would be at a disadvantage, and fundraising would be an even more decisive factor. You're right about one thing, Al. The present system is no way to pick a president, except that it may be better than all the other ways. I happen to think Iowa is as good a place to start as any. We don't need another round of reforms or a new set of rules. The real problem, Al, is that the ability to get elected no longer seems to have much correlation with the ability to be president. Let's hope 1988 gives us a good president, Al, not just a good campaigner. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on U.S. budget cuts that are crippling the World Health Organization. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The United States is setting a bad international example by refusing to pay its way in the World Health Organization. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, no agency on earth does more to help people than WHO, the World Health Organization. Its vaccination programs save millions of lives and billions of dollars. It led the successful effort to eradicate smallpox from the face of the earth. And it's the front line of defense today in the worldwide battle against AIDS. But your right-wing isolationist friends are mad at the United Nations, Al, and they're taking it out on WHO by refusing to pay the U.S. share of its budget. We're $118 million in arrears, and life-saving programs are being cut back. Tell your friends to shape up, Al. WHO is too important to fall victim to right-wing ideology. World health is one issue where Uncle Sam can't afford to be a deadbeat.
Deadbeat? I think you mean you beat that issue till it's dead. You've been wandering around the swamp so long on that when you've been sucked in. Congress has reduced United Nations funding, but that's been in response to the way the UN has operated, slapping us around on almost a daily basis. But the World Health Organization has suffered not a whit in that process. Last December, Congress appropriated $50 million for the WHO. An additional $15 million has now been earmarked through yet another appropriation. And Ted, the United States owes WHO $38 million from past years, not the whopping $118 million you cite. We haven't abandoned the World Health Organization, Ted. You shot from the hip this time, Ted, and blasted off a few of your toes. Out in the West, we shoot sharper than that. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to fill crucial vacancies in the federal courts. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Our judicial system is being stymied by the Senate's failure to confirm judges. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, the Senate Judiciary Committee is currently processing the nominations of some 27 individuals to judgeships on the federal bench. The judicial process is being allowed to run aground. The system needs these individuals to be at their duties. The Judiciary Committee does not want to be the bottleneck that does real damage to the administration of justice. The process was legitimately delayed while we considered the Supreme Court nominations, Ted, but people across the country are now waiting for able judges to fill vacancies. The repetitive litmus tests that you and your liberal pals apply to these nominees is appalling and tedious. Sure, you may object to one or two nominees, Ted, but it is shameful to delay 27 while you're up on the ladder doing your partisan berry picking.
Al, if you had your way, the Senate would rubber stamp every turkey the administration sends up. But that's not the way advice and consent works. Half of the judicial nominees, whose delay you complain about, weren't even nominated by President Reagan until November or December, just as Congress adjourned. So he had no chance to consider them until now. Besides, turkey is too good a description for some of those birds. One of them thinks the Supreme Court used the wrong basis to decide the school desegregation case. That's off the wall, Al. Another is being delayed because he was up to his eyeballs in a racist scheme to intimidate minority voters. For 26 other vacancies, Al, the administration hasn't even got its act together to send a name to Congress. I guess Ed Meese is too busy appearing before judges to think about appointing any. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a new idea in education. I call it Smart Start. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. I have a new idea for education called Smart Start. In a moment, Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, everyone talks about education, but nobody's doing anything about it. Let's you and I change that. A recent study shows the powerful difference that education makes for preschool children. It's the best education dollar America ever spends. By the time the children are adults, they're half as likely to be on welfare, get arrested, or have a teenage pregnancy, and twice as likely to have a job. Best of all, for you penny pinchers, Al, every dollar invested in early education saves $5 in later costs. Take a deep breath, Al, and help me launch this idea nationwide. It could revolutionize education and do for America in the 1990s what the Marshall Plan did in the 1940s or the mission to the moon in the 1960s. I call the idea Smart Start, Al. Are you smart enough to start it with me?
You make me start smarting. You're cooking your numbers, Ted. That recent study you cite was a perfect example of why you just can't toss money at our education problems. Even with massive amounts of money and endless manpower, the results of that study are limited, at best. That's so very tragic, Ted. But your quick-fix bureaucratic federal program is not the answer. You look at your program as something new, and yet I see 90 other federally funded education programs on the books right now. We need valuable preschool programs, Ted. Our nation's future is in our children. We should work with the states, build upon existing programs, and work hard for some real results. I give you an A for effort, Ted, but your redundant program ideas get you a D. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will salute a revered Republican. Join us when we face off Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. It's President's Day. We'll discuss one of my favorite Republicans when Ted Kennedy and I face off after this. Well, Ted, today is more than a day off for some businesses and the federal government. It is the day we set aside to honor George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. One of the remarkable insights Lincoln offered his countrymen involved his own life and self-respect. At one time he said, "I desire to conduct the affairs of this administration that when I come to lay down the reins of power, if I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, the one down inside of me." Politics would not be regarded as dirty business today, Ted, if we all held Lincoln's words dear to us. If we can be honest with ourselves, we can get the job done.
Nice words, Al, but what you Republicans are doing to civil rights would make Abraham Lincoln weep. The party of Lincoln has lost its way in its selfishness and greed. What would Lincoln say when President Reagan vetoed the Anti-Apartheid Act that imposed sanctions on South Africa? It was only a slap on the wrist, Al, but you voted to sustain the veto. What would Lincoln say when President Reagan threatened to veto the big civil rights bill we passed last month to stop federal funds from being used in programs that discriminate against women, minorities, the elderly, and the handicapped? You voted for that measure, Al, but will you vote to override a veto? The people of Iowa sent a message last week, Al. New Hampshire will send the same message tomorrow. They want America to stand for something again, and that means leaders who are true to Lincoln and who will stop dividing our house against itself. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on a victory for civil rights that even he supported. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Wonders never cease. Senator Al Simpson actually voted for a civil rights bill. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, these consciousness-raising sessions on face-off are having a good effect. Just the other day, you showed some heart and voted for a Kennedy civil rights bill, even if it did send your right-wing friends into cardiac arrest. The bill was a breakthrough, Al, a significant milestone for civil rights. By a vote of 75-14, we reversed an unfortunate 1984 Supreme Court decision, We strengthened the fundamental civil rights laws protecting women, minorities, the elderly, and the handicapped against discrimination in programs that receive federal funds. Because of your help, Al, we won that battle. Now we have to win the war. The hardcore anti-civil rights bunker in the White House wants the president to veto the bill. If you really meant your vote, Al, will you go the extra mile and vote to override a Reagan veto, too?
Now, Ted, don't rub it in. You won. But your efforts to paint civil rights as a partisan issue just won't sell. Thoughtful Democrats and Republicans alike work hard to pass that bill. Look at the vote. The American people don't care whose name or what party is on it. They just want to see the work get done out here. It took us 4 long years to legislate a solution to the original Supreme Court ruling. In the end, you had to come around to compromise, Ted. And we ended up with good language that does not interfere with religious liberties. That's so important. Federal funds should never be used to subsidize discrimination. And you're right. We did indeed strengthen those laws protecting women, minorities, the elderly, and the handicapped against discrimination. You were the leader on that one, Ted. I give you credit. You had an awful good team to back you up, like me. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on his proposal to mandate employee health benefits. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. That Ted Kennedy is at it again. In a minute, we'll face off on his plan to mandate employee health benefits. Oh boy, Ted, you call yourself a champion of American workers, but the champ just whiffed on the knockdown punch. You have a bill in that would mandate health benefits for workers who are employed at least 17 and a half hours a week. The employer would contribute 80% of the premium. Now, your selling pitch is that the cost of the federal government is minimal. But there's always a price tag, Ted, especially when you're backing a proposal. The potential cost of it all is to America's employers. Read that, taxpayers. $26 billion. Your bill places a terrible burden on small business. It would only increase unemployment in retail, services, and all low-wage manufacturing, and it would kick up consumer prices. It's another loser, Ted.
Al, you're swallowing right-wing propaganda hook, line, and sinker. Every impartial study of my proposal shows no significant effects on jobs, prices, or health costs. The plan is simple, Al, and I drafted it with right-wingers like you in mind. It's done through the private sector. It's not a big new federal program. Employers would have to provide at least minimum health insurance coverage to all their workers. The vast majority of firms already do it, Al, including small businesses. But the ones who don't are driving up insurance premiums for everyone else. Responsible firms are paying too much because they're also paying the bill for the deadbeat firms that don't protect their employees. 25 million workers and their families have no health insurance today, and every one of them is an American tragedy waiting to happen. Health insurance on the job is a realistic answer, Al, and you can't defeat it by spouting right-wing propaganda. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the administration's bias against women and minorities as federal judges. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration has hung an exclusionary sign on the federal judiciary. No women and no minorities. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the federal courts symbolize justice, and the Reagan administration is committing a serious injustice when it systematically excludes women and minorities from federal judgeships. There's no other explanation for what the administration's been up to for the past 7 years. The president did appoint a woman to the Supreme Court in 1981, but that's no excuse for what's happened since. Numbers don't lie, Al. Out of 367 judges appointed by this president, only 37 were women, and only 6 were black. 14 consecutive white males were named judges in the nation's capital alone. The record is almost as bad in other parts of the country. We're not talking quotas, Al, but fundamental fairness. This administration's judicial selection process reeks of discrimination. It's got to stop, or the Senate will stop confirming Reagan judges.
I see, Ted. Watch what you say, but not what you do. You have voted to confirm over 95% of Ronald Reagan's judicial nominees. They were obviously well qualified, or you surely wouldn't have voted for them. Ronald Reagan has appointed more women and minorities to the federal bench than did Ford, Nixon, or Johnson. The Carter folks appointed more, but even Carter's attorney general acknowledged that that was done really for the sake of quotas. There are no barriers to qualified women and minorities in this administration. The doors are open. The many talented women and minority individuals serving in this administration know that they hold their jobs because they are qualified, not because of some lesser or minority status. And that's just the way it should be. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on former federal employees who lobby the government. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. We're trying to take the grease out of the gears of the old revolving door. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Well, Ted, we all decry the practice of the federal employee who leaves government service only to land a plush job as a so-called influence peddler. The Senate has given thumbs up on legislation that will prohibit a federal worker from lobbying his former employer for one full year. And we put a good clamp on those who represent foreign interests when they leave the government. The old revolving door sure didn't start with the Reagan administration. We know of folks in all previous administrations who parlayed their government service into some pretty lucrative jobs downtown. This legislation will pull the reins in hard on some of that activity. One note of caution, though, Ted, you can never legislate ethical behavior or good judgment. We don't have perfection in our own lives, and we surely don't have it in our legislation. But this bill is a fine effort at correcting a bad situation.
Al, your hypocrisy is breathtaking. We all agree on the need to plug the loopholes in the lobbying laws. The revolving door syndrome breeds too much greed in government. It encourages high officials to sell out their public careers for private profit. The problem may not have started with the Reagan administration, Al, but Ed Meese and Mike Diva have certainly elevated it to an art form. If you feel so strongly about that sort of influence peddling, Al, why don't you feel the same way about influence purchase with fat cat contributions to political campaigns? The way we finance congressional elections is a scandal waiting to happen. As Mark Twain used to say, we have the finest Congress money can buy. It's a national disgrace. Democrats have been trying to crack down on corruption and campaign contributions, Al, but your Republican friends have filibustered every reform. What's the matter, Al? Have the fat cats got your tongue? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration has sent another phony budget to Congress. This time, they really cook the numbers. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's smoke and mirrors time on the budget once again. I know you don't cotton much to economics, but even you have to admit that the White House is using phony figures to make the deficit look smaller. To avoid automatic spending cuts this year under the Graham-Rudman-Hollings law, the deficit can't exceed $146 billion. Surprise, Al. The administration says that's just what the deficit will be. But virtually every private expert says the economy is slowing down and the deficit will be much larger. The respected bipartisan Congressional Budget Office says it'll be $176 billion. Isn't it time for a little truth in budgeting, Al? Tell the White House to stop cooking the numbers. Give us an honest budget and tell us how they intend to meet the deficit target.
You talk about cooked numbers, Ted, but your notions of budgeting are always half-baked in the oven. You have forgotten some crucial elements of the Graham-Rudman-Hollings law. You voted for that bill, Ted. You know what's in it. The Congressional Budget Office and the highly respected Office of Management and Budget never agree on their projected economic assumptions. That's why Congress decided last year to stick with only one set of figures, and that's why we voted to use OMB's numbers. The beauty of the whole thing is that we already included a system to check the numbers against the book cookers. On August 15th, we will take a snapshot of the deficit. If the reductions we take this spring aren't enough to meet the targets, then further cuts will be made. The bottom line is a budget deficit target of $136 billion. Let's focus the aim on that target, Ted, and quit blasting away at the administration. This is Senator Al Simpson. Now that the Defense Department is scaling back, Ted Kennedy and I will face off on the need to cut social spending. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Now that the administration is proposing heavy cuts in the defense budget, will Ted Kennedy take a thoughtful look at some of those high-ticket social programs so dear to his heart? We'll face off after this. Ted, whenever we talk about holding down social or entitlement spending, you let out a moan about defense spending. Well, we're taking some of the stuffing out of your straw man, Ted. The Pentagon is proposing a budget that is $33 billion lower than the budget proposed last year. Each branch of the armed services is looking at some painful reductions in personnel, and all the services have proposed retiring some of their outdated military equipment. But you continue to resist any and all limits on those social programs that really drain down the federal treasury. You spend a lot of time blathering away about the deficit, Ted, but I challenge you, right now, to name just one or two of your favorite social programs you might roll back. Are you there, Ted?
Al, years ago, you must have been frightened by your arithmetic teacher. Defense spending isn't going down in President Reagan's budget. He wants $8 billion more this year, $16 billion more on top of that next year, and still another $16 billion increase the following year. I'd like to cut social programs the same way President Reagan cuts military spending, Al. We'd be a lot further along towards solving critical problems like health, education, and housing. Granted, Al, the president isn't asking for the sun and the moon on defense, as he did last year, just the moon this year. But you can't call that a cut for the Pentagon. You probably think, Al, that when you're sick and your temperature goes from 101 to 104 and then to 105, you're getting better because you're getting sicker at a slower rate. That's not the way things work, Al, and it's not the way the budget works either. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on British justice in Northern Ireland. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. In a moment on Face Off, we'll find out whether Senator Al Simpson is prepared to criticize British policy in Northern Ireland. Al, Northern Ireland is a small corner of the world, racked by violence, but it's often neglected in our foreign policy because it's administered by our closest ally, Great Britain. In an appalling recent incident, British justice lost its way. The British Attorney General squelched an investigation into allegations that law enforcement officers were using a shoot-to-kill policy in Northern Ireland. Instead of apprehending suspects, the police were executing them on the spot. The investigation uncovered the wrongdoing, Al, but now the British say no one will be prosecuted and the report won't be released, all in the name of national security. Strong measures are needed to combat terrorism in Northern Ireland, but no democracy worth its name can cover up brutality and plead national security. Join me, Al, in telling the British they can't defeat terrorism by defying the rule of law themselves.
You describe an appalling recent incident. Not so, Ted. You're in a time warp. Following separate incidents of shootings back in 1982, the British government appointed an independent commission to investigate rumors of an alleged shoot-to-kill policy. There were a total of 3 shootings. 6 people were shot, and 5 of those individuals were apparently wanted as fugitives by British authorities. That independent body found no evidence of any shoot-to-kill policy. I see you make no mention of the IRA and some of the bloody acts of terrorism that group has committed. You're awfully selective in your criticism, Ted. Great Britain is a sovereign nation and a respected friend in democracy. I respect your Irish ancestry, Ted. Mine's Dutch. But don't forget, we're still both United States senators. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need for honest campaign finance reform. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The special interest groups know no limits when it comes to political spending. That's just the way Ted Kennedy likes it. We'll face off after this. You're a big fan of campaign finance reform, Ted. So am I. I often think you want to reform the system just to keep Republican senators in a permanent minority. I want to see reform that will make some honest changes in the system. Some of your greedy pals talk smugly of spending limits, but you do nothing at all to address the single most negative element of current law, the sudden bombshell of expenditures by independent individuals and organizations. We call that soft money, Ted, and you'll be soft-headed if you don't support limits on that kind of spending. It's wrong. It is always hidden from any kind of public disclosure. In 1986, it worked so well that six Republican Senate incumbents were bounced right out on the Capitol steps. No wonder you like the present package, Ted.
That's hogwash, Al. Those Republican incumbents lost in 1986 in spite of the huge advantage they had under our loophole-ridden campaign financing laws. The reason you Republicans don't want campaign finance reform is obvious. You're the fat cat party, and you'll fight to the death to keep the big bucks flowing from your fat cat contributors. In the wake of the Watergate scandal in the 1970s, Al, we cleaned up the system of presidential campaign financing. We took presidential elections off the auction block and away from the fat cats. But we didn't clean up our own house in Congress, Al. The way we finance our own elections is a scandal waiting to happen. As Mark Twain used to say, we have the best Congress money can buy, and it's a national disgrace. Our Democratic reform plan may not have all the answers, but it's a mile ahead of your proposal to do nothing. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the 1990 census. Will the count be fair? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The 1990 census is coming up fast, but the Reagan administration refuses to do what it takes to make the census accurate. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, preparations are well underway for the 1990 census. Billions of dollars in the allocation of federal funds are riding on the outcome, and so is the apportionment of seats for all 50 states in the House of Representatives. The stakes are high, Al, but the Reagan administration is taking the low road. It's refusing to take essential steps to make the count accurate. In 1980, for example, 4 million Americans were left out, and the undercount was worse for urban areas and minorities. That's unacceptable, Al. The administration has been stonewalling every effort to guarantee an accurate count. The inevitable conclusion is that Republicans are playing partisan politics to shortchange minorities in American cities in the census. Don't just say it ain't so, Al. Say you'll do something about it.
Okay, Ted. I say it ain't so. You sound as though you liked the way the census was done in 1980. That census counted some 2 million illegal aliens. In that process, the states of Pennsylvania, Kansas, and West Virginia very likely lost representation. Connecticut, Michigan, Ohio, Alabama, Missouri, and North Carolina stand to lose again in 1990. Meanwhile, California and Texas will be on a high roll at census time. A bipartisan group of elected officials have filed a complaint in a lawsuit challenging the process that counts illegal aliens in apportioning representation. I did say illegals, Ted. All of those persons with legal status in this country are entitled to representation. And Ted, when you worry about the undercount, where is your concern for our U.S. servicemen and women abroad? These folks have a legal residence in the United States, but they aren't even counted. This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.